Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. Man, that feels pretty damn good. It feels amazing to be back. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome, and I'm back after 2 weeks. Great to be here. What's going on, clones? How y'all living? This program, as you know, is still brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so I took 2 weeks off. I am back. I'm glad to be here. In fact, I'm hyped to be here. If you know what you want to talk about, dial me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Use that telephone number. Hit me up. The crew is intact on the other side of the glass. I've got my EP, Adam Hawk. He is screening your phone calls. I'm not even talking about you when you're already addressing the camera. What's up? To my left, Alvin DeLauro. In the back, the old man, Rit. All right, so once again, that telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Whatever you want to talk about is fair game as long as you have a take, and that take does not suck. That rule has not changed. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. In fact, if you don't mind, can you also follow me on Instagram? I tried to feed the gram while I was on break. Try to give you an idea of what I was doing. So, in return, why don't you add me to your account at Jim Rome? And you can still email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The show sets up like this. I've got Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. That's coming up in 40 minutes. In hour number two, Ben Golliver is inside that NBA bubble in Florida. He's a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He can tell us what it's like to live in the bubble. Also, as you know, we talk a lot of UFC on the program. The former UFC lightweight champ, class act, great warrior, Dustin Poirier, joins me at the top of our number three. All right, so why don't you get up in here? I've been gone for 2 weeks. It's good to be back. Now, where do you start? That's always kind of a curious question. When you take off for 2 weeks, where do you pick up? I mean, do I try and address some things that happened while I was gone? Do I hit the topical? It's always kind of a serious question. So what I decided to do is start right here. Now, as an example, I hate to come back from a couple of weeks off and immediately go buzzkill on you all and hit you with a hard one right out of the gate, but that is the job. I have to do so. So here is the hard truth. The NFL season may actually be impacted by COVID. Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? For months now, the NFL has been plowing ahead with its schedule in the middle of a global pandemic, almost to the point where it kind of seems like they're ignoring it. But, I mean, in a way, it's worked, right? I mean, sure, there have been modifications to OTAs in many camps, but they did have free agency, and they did have the draft, even if it was from Roger Goodell's basement. And now they're about to throw open the doors for training camp. Rookies for Houston and Kansas City are due to report today. So the rubber is officially meeting the road. But there are still issues. Lots of issues. Starting with the fact that the players don't think that it's safe to report to work. Now you think that might be a problem. J.J. Watt led it off with a detailed tweet about what the players do and don't know about what's going to happen at camp. Like, for instance, will there be daily testing? They do want to be tested every single day, and I can't say that I blame them. They also want to know how a positive COVID test is going to be handled. They also want to know what the policy is if a player wants to opt out. I mean, logically, you might ask then, how the hell are the players going to show up without an agreement in place? How can they report with so many unresolved safety and financial issues? I mean, who shows up to work without a deal already in place? Pretty much nobody, except the existing agreement between the two sides states that the league can mandate their reporting. In other words, the league doesn't need an agreement to get them to show up. It's mandated already. So maybe the reason that the league is in no hurry to address the players' concerns is that it feels like it doesn't have to. It can just tell the players, hey, it's reporting date. Get your ass to work. And the players, of course, are not happy about that. And they're concerned. And they want you to know that they do want to play, but only if it's safe. And the league's biggest players are saying just that. As an example, you have this from Russell Wilson. Quote, I am concerned. My wife is pregnant. at NFL training camp is about to start, and there's still no clear plan on player health and family safety. We want to play football, but we also want to protect our loved ones. Hashtag we want to play. Then this from Myles Garrett. Quote, if the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Hashtag we want to play. And this from Michael Thomas. If Adam Silver can respect the voices and protect his NBA players, why can't at NFL commission do the same? Listen to your players. You forgot your hashtag, bro. Yeah, I know. You want to play. They do. They just want to know they have a safe working environment. Interestingly enough, though, it's not just the players who are expressing those concerns. One of the NFL owners did as well. Raider owner Mark Davis. Now, Davis is going to be known for something more than just rocking the worst ginger cut ever and a flip phone. Nope. Now he is also the only owner approaching the viability of the coming season by saying, let's not get into that just yet. An owner doing that. Last night, Mark Davis told ESPN, quote, I don't even know if it's safe to play. Uncertainty is the word, end quote. I mean, that's an amazing statement, really, from an owner. Given how eager the league has been to bowl right through the pandemic, you know they cannot be that pleased to hear that from Mark Davis. And then Davis kept going. He ran down three options for what this season might look like. Number one, you can continue as planned with training camps opening up next week. Number two, delay the start until November and then go with a 12-game regular season, which would mean canceling the four interconference games. And number three, cancel the 2020 season. That's right. I said cancel the 20 season completely. And that's not me saying it. That's an NFL owner saying it and saying it to ESPN. One thing for an owner to acknowledge that it may not be safe to play, that's newsworthy enough. Quite another, though, for an owner to acknowledge canceling the entire season is on the table, too. And yes, I know it's not Jerry Jones or the Rooneys or Bob Kraft talking. It's the owner with the whack ginger bowl cut who rolls around in a minivan with a flip phone fetish and is posting up at P.F. Chang's. But dude is still an actual owner. He is still one of them. An NFL owner saying that he's not sure if it's safe to play right now, and an NFL owner raising the possibility of shortening or even canceling the entire season. Like, there are only 32 of those guys on this planet, and one of them has mentioned the unthinkable. And honestly, I can't say I blame this cat. He's got a point. He might be right. It may not be safe. And the players have every right to be reluctant to show up and be bent about the fact that they don't have any clarity on testing and protocols. Like, I know that data and information surrounding the virus has changed since March, but all along the story has been that the NFL had an advantage because their season started so late in the year. They could sit back. They could watch the NBA. They could watch the NHL. They could check out MLB and MLS and see what they did in their restarts. They could go to school on that. So how are we at this point, right now, with rookies supposed to report today and players are jumping on Twitter to say that they don't feel safe and they don't know what's going on? Again, the NBA and the NHL announced their plans weeks in advance. The NFL has got rookies showing up today, and as of yesterday, guys like J.J. Watt were saying that there's a lack of clarity on testing protocols and asking what happens if there is a positive test. I don't know, like, it feels like maybe those are a couple of pretty basic questions that shouldn't be unanswered at this point. Get it done right, get it done quickly. Player safety has got to be the most important thing right now. And frankly, if you cannot deliver on that, especially this late in the game, then you may have to listen to Mark Davis. And the fact that Mark Davis is the voice of reason tells you just how jacked up this world is right now. Hey, believe this. Nobody wants the NFL more than I do right now. Believe that. And I know the players want to play. I also believe that. Just not if it's not safe for them to do so, and I don't blame them. So it's incumbent upon the NFL to create a working environment that the players think is safe enough to show up to. They're the ones who are at risk, not the owners. And given how much time the league had to set it up, why are there so many questions? Why are there so many unresolved issues the day that players are supposed to start reporting? I don't know. But they better find out quickly and get some solutions fast, because the players insist that there is not going to be a season until they get those answers. And at least one owner is acknowledging as much, even if he does hole up at a P.F. Chang's and thumb out texts and conduct interviews from a flip phone.
Raider Nation, this is a big effing deal.
American Nation, this is a big effing deal. So again, I hate to start with something so hard. I hate to be a big buzzkill and throw a big wet blanket over these proceedings, but I got a job to do. That said, we could talk about some other things. 1-800-636-8686. Like, how long am I going to sit here at this desk looking good and dropping knowledge and spitting out takes before I get a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686. I don't need it, but I do want it. Hit me up. Additionally, man, I really didn't want to talk about Dak Prescott. I am really sick of talking about Dak Prescott. However, while I was gone, the deadline for the Cowboys to sign him to a long-term deal came and went. Therefore, even though I don't want to, I need to talk about Dak Prescott and how badly I think the Cowboys handled that. And it's getting worse. Let's see what else happened over the weekend. You had the memorable. And a lot of things happened to that golf tournament that I want to recap, and I will. And yes, I was gone for 2 weeks. And yes, I was in Wisconsin. I'll give you some thoughts about that trip. Tell you what I did, tell you what I didn't do. Tell you what that town was like. Give you some of my reactions to the town, the reactions to me in the program. A lot to get to there. And I want to do a random roundup. Like, I don't want to go back and reset everything that happened over the past 2 weeks, but there are a few things that are pretty important that happened over the past 2 weeks that essentially you tried to wreck my vacation with by blowing up my timeline. So I will double back, and I will give you a taste of that too. 1-800-636-8686. If you're jumping in late, I am back. I'm happy to be here. Once again, I've got Charles Robinson coming up later on this hour, 40 past. I've got Ben Golliver, who is living inside of the bubble, the NBA bubble. And I'll get his thoughts on what that's been like so far. That's coming up in the second hour. Dustin Poirier, really impressive guy. Want to run him down? In fact, I don't think he's ever been on the program before. That's coming up the top of hour number three. It's a Monday, so I've got an ATP as well, and we are back in business and happy to be here. So have you had any trouble finding time to fully wax your car? I bet. 303, touchless sealant will save you hours. This based SiO2-based formula is completely touchless, and it's a quicker alternative to waxing your car. It lasts twice as long. It is so easy to use. You simply spray on, and then you rinse off. 303 Touchless Sealant provides superior protection against paint fading, and it provides the ultimate shine in no time. It only takes minutes to get that same water-beating protection that you get from a full wax, and it saves you hours spent in the garage. It's safe for paint, gel coat, fiberglass, plastics, and can even be used on your windshields and your wheels as well. It can also be used when you're looking to prolong the time in between waxes or ceramic coatings. 303 products have been trusted for over 40 years and are the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, AutoZone, or Advance Auto Parts store. Visit 303radio.com for more information.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So one of the best and worst things about coming off a bender, and I call it a bender because it's 2 weeks. That's a long vacation. That is a long break. One of the best and worst things about that is when I come back, it's to see how much rust that there is to knock off. Like, I have this regimentation, I have this process, I always do the same things every single day. And then when you get out of that routine, out of that element, I'm always curious to see where I'm going to forget. And I've already, nothing like totally catastrophic has happened so far, but there have been a few things that I've totally whiffed on. I remember one time I came back, I want to say it was at the end of the year, and I started the new year, and maybe it wasn't, it might have been a spring break, but I couldn't have been more fired up. I mean, I was jacked the hell up to get back to the office. You know how that is, like you take that time off and you spend some time and, you know, you do a deep dive, maybe assess where you're at, think about where you're going, you go to a reset. And then you come back, and man, you are fired up. Like, the clothes are laid out in the morning. The oatmeal bowl is laid out in the morning. You're up an hour earlier. You're in the office a half hour earlier. Like, let's get it. That kind of thing. And I sit down. This is not this trip, but this was a prior trip. And I sit down at my laptop, and I'm like, damn, I don't remember my password. I literally forgot my password. How do you forget your password to your computer in 2 weeks? And I'm there. I'm just freaking out. I'm trying every password I can possibly think of. I can't get into my freaking computer. So luckily that didn't happen, but I've had some other missteps this morning, just a little bit of rust to knock off. Now, what I did not forget is every Monday is an ATP day. Time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question. Listen later on. I might answer yours, and thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. What did I miss the last 2 weeks? What do you want me to talk about? I've got thoughts, but I want you to dial me in too. Jeff in NoCal just says, welcome back, pimp. Thank you, Jeff. Good to be back. Sincerely. Hi, Con the Mic tweets, dear Jim, I really do want to play. Ouch. Oh, man. I just broke my thumbs. Well, there goes the season. Signed, J.J. Watt. You know, like, I'm rested. I'm tan. I'm more patient. I might be willing to let that slide. No, I won't. What, are you questioning that guy's toughness? Are you questioning J.J. Watt's commitment? Are you saying he got hurt thumbing out that tweet and doesn't want to play? The guy wants to know that if he shows up, it's going to be a safe working environment. It's not too much to ask. In fact, I would do the same thing. And the questions that they are asking are pretty basic questions that should have been answered a long time ago. I mean, like, what is the opt-out policy? What happens if somebody does test positive? How often are we going to test? This doesn't even get into all the economic things that are unresolved. I see what the players are doing here. And back to my original point, the NFL was saying all along, hey, we've got time. The one thing we do have that the others don't have is time. Time is on our side. And we'll have the benefit of watching these other leagues reboot. And we can see what they do right and what they do wrong. So if all that's true, how do we get to the day of reporting and you have all these basic questions that are still unanswered? So no, it's not a matter, bro, of J.J. Watt hurting a thumb. He wants to know if he can work without the fear of getting COVID. And if there's a risk, how big of a risk is there? And if he or somebody else gets it, then what happens? These are not unreasonable questions. At Wooden Laconic tweets, I saw your post from the plane on the flight home Saturday night. It's good to see that you were able to avoid the dreaded downgrade list this time. Must be nice. Oh, yeah, it was nice. It is always nice to sit up front and never nice to be the first on the downgrade list. In terms of traveling, that was the first time I'd gotten on a plane since the pandemic. And I'm not going to lie, that was kind of nerve-wracking. You know, some might argue that, yeah, but actually airplanes are among the cleaner vessels. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. It was a little nerve-wracking. In fact, it was more than a little nerve-wracking. I mean, I was that guy wiping down the seat, wiping down the tray, all those things. Now, on the way back, the one thing that happened that was definitely a sign of COVID was I got there, I looked at my itinerary, and then I looked at my boarding pass. Yes, I'm one of those old school, old dudes that still wants a boarding pass. I do. I mean, I love my phones, but I want that. And then I look at the boarding pass, and the boarding pass flight is not the same as my itinerary flight. So I went up there and I said, hey, what up? What's going on? Oh, we moved you, sir. Well, you just moved me. That's not like those emails that you get in the weeks leading up to the flight where they keep moving you. This is like you get there day of and they've moved you to another flight without telling you. I'm like, really? I've got a connecting flight. Oh, you're good, sir. I am? You're good. The other flight is right behind this flight, and it's actually a bigger plane, and nobody will be next to you. I'm like, cool. Cool. So that was the only issue. And believe me, that was way better than being, quote, first on the downgrade list. Rome slice. Ah, searing pain. Regards the Peloton when Rome sat on it.
Ah!
After 2 weeks of cheese curds.
Oh, searing pain.
Geoff and Lincoln. Actually, not really, but I'll tell you this. So I'll lay it out when I get to my take on the trip itself, but I did not have any exercise equipment there. None. And so I'm not saying that I'm like, you know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, or anything. Far from it. But I am pretty committed to my Peloton routine for sure. Some weights, a hell of a lot of cardio. And I'll get into this later on. But what I did do is I went all MMA on it. I went weight cut before the trip. You know, like I'm in the sauna. I'm wrapped up in plastic bags. I'm running in a hefty bag. And I went weight cut because I knew what was waiting for me there. A lot of cheese and no workout gear. And honestly, I tried to get a Peloton for Wisconsin because we have a house there now. And because of the backup during the pandemic, it didn't get delivered yet. So I went 2 weeks without a workout. You can be damn sure that yesterday when I woke up in Cali, first thing I did was jump on that Peloton.
Absolute searing pain.
It was not absolute searing pain. It was good. It felt great. Adrian Gutierrez tweets, "Now I'm done. Signed vacation."
Now
that's
done.
Interesting. That's interesting. Now I'm done. Signed vacation.
Now I'm done.
My response to that is, let's not get into that just yet.
Let's not get into that yet.
How about this? You do the math, and I'll do the vacation. But if I get 6 weeks during the year of vacation time, and if I don't use it, I lose it. And if that was the first 2 weeks of the year, and we're in the middle of July,
you do the math. I'm doing the Alfredo.
I'll do the Alfredo. Yeah, I'll do the Alfredo and the curds and everything else they have there. I just won't be doing any vegetables. Rit, man, that place, that is your dream come true, Rit. Oh.
Game on.
Not only that, Rit, let me tell you about something that happened in Wisconsin. I hit a DQ one night. Actually, I did not, but I was at a party, socially distanced, socially responsible. Wisconsin's very different. This town is so small, and obviously the numbers aren't there. They weren't spiking, but still, I was one of the guys who had the mask on all around town. Anyway, doing the right thing. But I went to an event where we were socially distanced and responsible, and somebody says, after an adult beverage or four, "Does anybody want a Blizzard?" They brought back a tray of Blizzards. Holy crap. All I know is this. I've had Blizzards here in California. They do not taste like the Blizzards in Wisconsin. That was not only the best Blizzard I've ever eaten, that might have been the best food I've ever eaten. And somebody tried to tell me, "Yo, man, wake up. It's the dairy. You're in Wisconsin. What do you expect?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. Do they sprinkle those Blizzards with crack or coke or heroin? Hey, what exactly was in that Blizzard? That was the best thing I've ever had in my life." I understand that it's the dairy. It can't just be that. It was amazing. And more thoughts on what I ate there. Dan in Michigan tweets, "Rome, how about those geese? Not social distancing up at Eagle River. How rude. Missed ya. What was the garbage can situation like up there?"
Garbage.
Dude, my man, you were so funny that you said that. I mean, about the geese. He obviously was checking out my stories. I became like a story-feeding fool from Wisconsin. Bro, I actually do have a garbage can problem, like you do.
Garbage.
Well, not like you do, but I've got one. I don't have any. I got to figure that out. A lot of things I have to figure out about that little town where we now have a residence. I'll tell you what I do have. I don't have garbage cans, but I've got a garage full of garbage, man. It ain't pretty.
garbage.
Eric in Orlando. Welcome back, Romy. How did the fishing go? We tried, bro. We didn't catch anything, but people were. In fact, not far from where I live, there's a pretty good fishing hole. How do I know? Because they post it up every single morning from there. I'll tell you about some of the conversations I had with the people on the lake. I mean, physically, the people on the lake. They were chatting me up. Wisco, what's up? My first extended stay in Wisconsin. All right, when we come back, why don't we start the interview portion of the program? My man Charles Robinson is joining us, an NFL reporter for Yahoo. Check that, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. Want to get his thoughts on whether or not he thinks the NFL season will start on time, what that season might look like, and is there any possibility there won't be a season? All of that is still ahead. How about a telephone call? 1-800-636-8686. First up, though, I have got a sports update. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. What's going on? I'm Jim Rome, back from vacation. Feels great to be here. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and I'm still in our Southern California-based studios. Hit me up. You have your telephone number, and you know where to find me on social. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, the man who knows how to order fries at McDonald's. Good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, brother? How was whiskey?
Oh, dude, so fun. So fun. How you doing?
I'm doing well. If not for the NFL and NFLPA negotiations that are sputtering along like Jim Rome's AmeriCorps as it crossed 15,000 miles, the white smoke is coming.
Well played, my man. You nailed that. Charles Robinson's my guest. Let's talk about that white smoke. So you and Pete Thamel had a piece last week for Yahoo where you broke down the situation between the NFL and the NFLPA as it reports to players showing up for camp during the pandemic. Rookies are supposed to report for Houston and Kansas City today. Overall, how would you describe the situation as it is right now?
You know, it's tenuous right now. As we speak, rookies are getting tested for coronavirus outside of the practice facility here in Houston. They're going to be sent home afterward. And, you know, this is, in some ways, this is the canary in the coal mine. Like, let's see how quickly some of these tests come back. Because the NFL, ultimately, once this all gets hammered out with the union, would like a testing regimen of, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and getting results back Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And, you know, look, it's ambitious because you're talking anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 tests when you consider the coaching staff, the personnel, everybody involved with all these teams. You know, getting it back on a 24-hour basis is going to be rough. But, I mean, there are so many things right now that the league and the union are trying to work out, the economics of the situation, which they have about a month and a half before the start of the regular season to figure out the cap ramifications. But, you know, players are going through the roof because essentially on Friday, they still had questions for franchises about testing protocols, about opt-out situations, how that was going to impact salary, contracts. Did contracts toll? Do we still get a year accrued toward the pension? You're talking about really everything. I mean, how camps are even going to be run, you know, once players actually get in. So, a lot still to be worked out between the NFL and the NFLPA. And I think today you'll see the league probably cut the two preseason games to one preseason game, which is going to upset half the teams in the league because they're going to sit there and go, hey, guess what? You just gave 16 teams a competitive advantage because now they can go through a dry run in the preseason, figuring out how to get people in and everybody being safe. Whereas the other 16 of us have to do it when the regular season starts and everything's real.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. Of course, the players don't want any preseason whatsoever. You know, the fact that we're at this point where we are right now and there's still so many questions, all along the talk had been that the NFL had the advantage over other leagues because they could see what worked and what didn't work for those leagues, and they had all this extra time to get a plan in place, yet they haven't been able to do so. Exactly what is the status? I mean, do they have something that is near fully developed? And how did they get to this place where they had all that time, but apparently didn't make good use of it?
Well, so on Friday, I had somebody who, frankly, had been kind of a pessimist in this whole, you know, basically the talks, say, look, you know, we're within spitting distance of a lot of issues, not so much the economic end of it, how to deal with the salary cap ramifications, but there's a longer term, you know, to work that out. There is roughly 6 weeks to try and get that figured out. Everything else, at least on the league side, they felt like, hey, we're getting within the zone of getting a lot of these things done. The problem was on Friday, the league was supposed to have every team was supposed to submit an infectious disease emergency response plan, which is basically like, hey, if all hell breaks loose, you know, here's our plan in place to keep everybody safe. Here's how we're going to deal with all this. And only, you know, there were still a lot of teams that had not submitted like the initial plan for review. And that has to be reviewed by the union. It has to be reviewed by the league's doctors, all these different individuals. So you had players who got on a conference call on Friday going, what's going on? We don't even have one of these, you know, fundamental building blocks that, frankly, you could have developed 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago. Just pretend the worst case scenario was going to happen, develop the plan and have it ready for us. And there were teams that still hadn't done that. So that's how you ended up with Sunday, a number of elite level players saying, you know what, let's go forward with this idea that we need to put some pressure on the league from a social media standpoint to try and get, you know, these things rolling. Like, we need these emergency response plans in place. We need the doctors to have reviewed them. We need the union to sign off on them. It's not in a great zone, but one of the top five things I think that has to be worked out is the preseason, you know, situation. How many games will there be? Okay, you knock that one off. Let's see what the testing protocols are. Okay, that's a top five thing. You can knock that off. Okay, players have all these questions about the opt-outs. We can knock that off. All of a sudden, you're making significant progress toward July 28th, and simultaneously, you're getting a look at these rookies showing up in Houston and Kansas City and seeing, are the tests coming back on time? Are things running seamlessly? We won't even really know that because rookies all go home today, and they got to show up tomorrow for testing, and it won't be until, you know, really maybe Thursday, Friday before we know how seamlessly even the rookies being in the building in two franchises is.
Charles Robinson joining us and breaking it all down. All right, so fingers crossed. Hopefully it gets done. Let me move on to another topic before I let you go. What was your reaction to the report from the Washington Post where 15 women who work for the Washington NFL team came forward and alleged sexual harassment by former scouts and members of Dan Snyder's inner circle? What was your reaction to the report?
I mean, it's a mess. It's if there wasn't something that Washington, you know, we're dealing with all the name stuff and, you know, really Dan Snyder's reign in general, decades of futility. And then, you know, this environment exists where you have, you know, 15 women working inside the franchise who say, look, there's, you know, serial sexual harassment going on inside the franchise. You have reporters coming out and going on the record saying, look, I had incidents with, you know, people inside that franchise. It's ugly. I mean, it's as ugly as it can be. But I think if there's one takeaway that people need to understand from this, we find out in the fallout that there are non-disclosure agreements that were being signed, you know, by women who worked in the franchise. And just 2 years ago, coming out of the Carolina Panthers investigation, the outside investigator, one of the protocols that they said, look, here's a recommended change. No more non-disclosure agreements. Anything that would violate the personal conduct policy inside your franchise, NDA should not be signed to cover that anymore. And people should be free to speak about potential personal conduct violations. Well, guess what? This would fall under personal conduct, you know, inside the franchise, even if Dan Snyder wasn't aware. Those NDAs are something that keep happening over and over inside franchises. The league said they would look at addressing it. Well, here we are. 2 years later, we're finding out that people still can't talk because NDAs are in place. At some point, the NFL is going to have to remedy that, but I'm going to tell you right now, that is one thing that I don't think NFL owners will ever want to be taken away from them is the ability to pay off and sign away problems inside their franchise.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so overall, how do you think the NFL is going to respond to this, and in particular, what could it mean to Snyder?
Well, look, the league's going to have to Washington's going to do their own external investigation. I think you're going to ultimately see that the league's going to have to do essentially its own external investigation. Can't just allow Dan Snyder to run an outside the house investigation on his own. That's not where the league, that's not how the league approached it in Carolina. So if they don't approach it the same way in Washington that they did with Carolina, then there's inequity occurring between the two ownership groups. I don't ultimately think this is a situation where you're going to see Dan Snyder forced to sell the team the way Jerry Richardson was, the difference being that Jerry Richardson was directly involved in a lot of the NDAs that got signed and the incidents that happened inside his franchise. And to this point, you know, the culture is the culture, but if Dan Snyder was not, you know, taking part in, you know, some of the things that, the employees have alleged, that creates a little comfort zone for him, although he should not be comfortable because this is not ultimately going to end up, you know, well for the look of the organization. So I could see, you know, Dan Snyder getting fined, you know, the Washington Redskins having to, you know, deal with the league in terms of the structure moving forward. How are they going to have an HR department? You know, how are they going to deal with these problems in the future? But it's not going to be like Carolina, unless something else comes out, which is a possibility. Once reports like this drop, other people may come out. But it, as it stands right now, it's not going to be the same situation with Jerry Richardson because of the personal involvement.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, is joining us. One more topic before I let you go. You and I have talked about Dak Prescott's contract for years now, and it looks like we may still be talking about his contract for years now as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys. The deadline came and went. The two sides did not agree to a long-term extension. Exactly what are the Cowboys doing, and what is their plan here?
I mean, they're mishandling it. I mean, they've dropped it at every point that they could have gotten Dak Prescott under contract by being aggressive, paying a little bit more, giving up a little bit more. They didn't do it. Now, look, you can blame Dak Prescott and say, hey, you know, he could give a little something back. Pat Mahomes, even though he signs this monster deal with Kansas City, he didn't put the screws to the franchise. Difference was Pat Mahomes played on a first-round contract for a few years, got paid. Dak Prescott played for 3 years under a fourth-round contract, completely different scenario. Actually, you know, I mean, we're really talking 4 years on a fourth-round contract. And this is a guy who, you know, now stands to make, because the Dallas Cowboys allowed it to get to this position, he's going to make more than any other football player in the NFL the next 3 years if the Dallas Cowboys have to use that franchise tag, which has taken this to a zone where if there's a deal to be done, Dak Prescott is going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. That's what the next three franchise tags dictate. The Cowboys are a long way from that. I don't even think they're willing to get him to $40 million per season, which is what his contract is going to dictate. Because of those franchise tags, it was mishandled by the Cowboys. And now they're going to have to figure out, either after this this season or the 2021 season, following the 2021 season, they're going to have to either cut bait or pay him, like I said, the largest contract in the history of the NFL. The only thing that saves them at this point is probably not the greatest scenario, and that would be Dak Prescott's play and development falling off the next 2 years.
Yeah, but he's getting better and better and better, and the guy's so durable. He doesn't, not only does he not miss games, he doesn't miss snaps. So how do you think it plays out? Is he going to be a Cowboy for years to come, or are they going to say, you know what, we could do better, it's not worth it, and will they let him go?
I think he plays the next two seasons in Dallas, but I think he plays under the tag. So you're talking about, you know, $31.4 million, $37.7 million the next two seasons. And I think if there is success, so if the Cowboys go to the playoffs this year, if they go to the playoffs next year, if, you know, prayers are answered for Jerry Jones and they win a Super Bowl in that span, they're not going to have an issue making him the highest paid player in the NFL. But I think if they have a fair amount of success, continue to play in the postseason, and as you said, Dak Prescott doesn't miss snaps, which he hasn't. He takes a step forward every year, which he's done every single year of his career. I think they're going to get to a zone after the 2021 season and say, okay, if he goes to free agency, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, highest paid player in the league. We're just going to have to deal with it and swallow it and lock this guy up for the next, you know, 4 years, and basically look at, we've had by the end of that 4 years, we've had the lion's share of his prime. I think he will get paid, barring an injury or just all of a sudden Dak Prescott hitting a wall, which frankly I don't think is going to happen because some of the pieces around him are getting better.
So really quickly, is this just business, or if you were Dak, would you be pissed?
I'd be pissed. I mean, look, you know, you've had to play out a rookie contract. You know, you were a guy that, hey, the franchise wanted Paxton Lynch. That would have been a mess in the 2016 draft. They wanted Connor Cook. That would have been a mess. You ended up falling in their laps. You started as a rookie. You did nothing but get better and continue to improve. And again, it was, if the Cowboys had just been willing to be a little ahead of the market at a number of different points, this would have been done. Could have been done in February 2019. Could have been done in August of 2019. Both of those times, the Cowboys tried to play it a little under market. They wanted Dak Prescott not to maximize kind of where the market was going. But, you know, that's the way that this works, and they needed to understand that financially they were in a position where he was the player that they could not afford to not overpay a little, and they just were not willing to do that. So it leads you as a player, if you're Dak Prescott, particularly a quarterback who's considered your franchise quarterback, to wonder how much do they really love me if they're not willing to pay me a little more than they have to, and particularly when they went to the mattresses with Ezekiel Elliott and ended up losing that one and paying him a top-end deal for a running back.
I agree with you. Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He's also the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program. And, in fact, my first guest back after a two-week break. Charles, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Romy. We're happy to have you back, and stay safe. All right, brother?
You're the man. Charles Robinson, you too. He is such a pro. Love talking to him. And there's a reason why he was my first guest back. That's the reason. Charles Robinson. Next hour, Ben Colliver. I'd put him in the same category. Ben has been living inside of the NBA bubble at the Disney complex. So we'll run him down at 20 past. Top of the hour is open. If you want to use it, go right ahead. You've got the phone number. I do want to talk about the Memorial. Interesting golf tournament. All that is still ahead. Stay tuned.